The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, James reflects back to a classic sermon he preached on unity among believers.
And by this the world will know you're my disciples, not full gospel, not Baptist, not Pentecostal, not charismatic, my disciples, if you love one another, really love one another.
Understanding the impact we could have on the world by coming together in love. Next.
It is such a privilege to come into your home and share with you. I'm James Robinson. I welcome you to Life Today. Let me just remind you, sometimes as husbands and ministers, perhaps especially ministers, we're not as sensitive maybe to our wives as we need to be. And you know, we're still dealing months later with the loss of our beautiful daughter, our baby girl. And God's given us such marvelous grace. But you know, with me, I think about that incredible, indescribable loss that I wouldn't want anyone to experience. And those who have, you understand, and others want to and care and lift us and thank you, because that's we're standing on your shoulders. But Betty was pulled right in right after that to right back into ministry and television and missions. And for me, I'm thinking about, yes, our family, but I'm thinking about children all over the world and the families of the world, and thinking about you and your need, and I just keep pouring that out, and I make no apology for that, but sometimes we as preachers are not as sensitive to what our wives may be going through, and I'm so sorry. But Betty needed some time alone. Our daughter, Rhonda, Robin's older sister, called it just some me and Jesus time, just me and Jesus, and I need that. And Betty says, you know, I need that too. So she's asked for me to, you know, carry this for a while and just let her have a few days to just be alone, and we've done that. Thank you. She was hoping that her absence wouldn't hinder the support of our mission outreaches and right now mission feeding. She thought, oh my, because I know, James, you want us to feed those kids and help them, and the missionaries need our help, of course. And we believe that you will do that. This also, you know, not only is this our 50th year of wedding and marriage, 50-year anniversary, but it's also the celebration of our 50 years of ministry and 25 years in missions all over the world. And I, you know, we were remembering some of the things that happened, and we felt like a lot of our viewers and friends said, James, would you bring back some of those days when you were preaching and when God used you to help bring the body of Christ together, the different parts that were so divided, mainline churches with charismatic or Pentecostal churches where they could at least talk together and seek God together and have a holy unity. Well, I delivered a message. There used to be an organization that was called the Full Gospel Businessmen's, and it was quite an effective organization. I preached, this was one of the last world conventions that they had, and there were many of national and world leaders there, even on the platform. Some of the president's cabinet were there, President Reagan's cabinet. And I was preaching to leaders, but I was talking about spiritual unity and also talking about fruitfulness and how the enemy attacks the fruitfulness of God's garden and His will, but also what it takes to bring people together so the fire of God can fall on His people. And I used an illustration about trying to start a charcoal fire because I was going to cook some steaks for me and Betty. Just listen to this. There were about 10,000 people there, and the response at the end was totally miraculous. Let's join that message. You'll hear it this week. Here is part one on spiritual unity, preached back in the early 80s.
I was with my wife for a couple of days, well, really a day, 24-hour period. We drove about 2 hours, have a little place we can get away to pray and just be alone. And we were going to eat that night, and I was going to charcoal a steak for me and Betty, and we had a little charcoaler. I don't know how many of you have ever done this, but I'll tell you what I would do if I were pastor of a church, and you shouldn't make your people do anything, but I would encourage my people to do two things. I would encourage my people to build a charcoal fire until they were successful. not with self-lighting charcoal, the kind you have to soak in light. And I would encourage every single member of my church, from child, from junior age up, and possibly even younger than that, I would encourage every member of my church to grow some kind of a garden, either a flower garden or a vegetable garden or some kind of garden. Because it is only then that you begin to understand what it means to be fruitful and to multiply. And I'm going to tell you something about a garden. I don't care if it's a flower garden or a vegetable garden or a field of hay or grain or wheat or corn. You can plant the very best, but if you leave that field unattended, I can tell you what's going to take over. And I'll tell you something else. Your flowers and your vegetables will not be in sin. They don't sin. But they will find themselves under the assault of a destroyer, as surely as any holy person sitting in this room tonight. For the fiery darts of the wicked come against every breathing, living being. There is a destroyer that will grow weeds and thorns and briars in your garden. And the black spot and the spider mite and every other fungus known to man will attack plant life that doesn't sin. And I can assure you that you and I are in a war with the spiritual powers of darkness. And if you leave God's field unattended to by the husbandman, by Jesus Christ, the vine dresser, if you're not in Holy Spirit communion with Holy God and allowing the sword of the Spirit to do work in your life, you too will be overgrown and your field will become a field that is sprouting poisonous weeds rather than good fruit to the glory of God. And I'm telling you that most Christians right now have their lives so infested by the work of the enemy that is an abomination to think about. Well, I was building a charcoal fire, and as I had the charcoals there on the grill, I remembered last winter a friend of mine went out to build a charcoal fire, and he couldn't get it lit. And I went out and I saw that the charcoal was scattered all over the grill, one little layer of charcoal. He was dousing it with the lighter fluid and putting the match to it, and it'd go like that and dead black charcoal. Well, I had remembered that. I am fairly perceptive. I learn quickly. I'm not like some people in government, Mr. Watt, who never will learn no matter what they do, you know. So what I'd done is I knew that in order to get charcoal to light, you've got to pile it up in a neat little pile. Now watch this. I get the charcoal and I make a little pile, and some of the little briquettes trickle off and roll down the side. And meticulously, I reach down and pick up the charcoal and I place it in. I have to lodge it. I have to prop it up with some more charcoal. I've got dirt all over my fingers and I'm piling up the charcoal. And it's as though the Lord himself is just chuckling at me. He does that a lot about me, chuckles at me a lot. He thinks I'm pretty funny. And he's just chuckling at me, and he says, "Well, look at you, what are you doing?" The Lord and I talk like this a lot. Excuse me, some people don't believe you can, but I'm enjoying it, and I'll go right on talking to him. He likes to talk to me, and we fellowship like this. It's really all right to fellowship with your Father. He really likes to talk to you. Now, he never will contradict his word. That's the reason he gave you the word, because the devil will masquerade as an angel of light. And his ministers will come as ministers of righteousness, and they'll deceive you. They don't come in and announce, "Behold, a false prophet." They think they're right. But when you're deceived, you deceive. Well, the Lord and I talk a lot, and he's chuckling, and he said, "What are you doing there?" And I said, "I'm stacking this charcoal. It won't light unless you get it all together where all of it's touching each other." And I said, "That's what I'm doing, Lord." And he said, "Isn't that something?" He said, "Why don't you preachers learn to do that with my people?" He said, "My people are scattered all over the earth, not even touching each other. And you're running around trying to soak them in the oil of the Holy Spirit and in truth." He said, "You just soak them and soak them and soak them and soak them. And then you wonder why they don't get on fire." He said, my son's already prayed it, that you may be one as we're one. A new commandment he gave you, that you love one another, even as we love one another. And by this the world will know you're my disciples, not full gospel, not Baptist, not Pentecostal, not charismatic, my disciples, if you love one another, really love one another. And the Lord said, you can soak them in truth, soak them in Holy Spirit emphasis, but until my people agree to come together, until my people will seek, strive diligently to preserve the unity of the Spirit into which they were born in Christ in a bond of peace, he said, you need not expect me to light the fire. He said, let my people come together with this purpose to seek me, as they did at Pentecost, waiting on me, waiting on the promise of the Father, waiting on me, and I'll light their fire. That's what I want to see. I'm committed to that. I'm committed to it. There isn't anybody I'll stop loving. I've been called the ugliest names I know any preacher been called. I never knew a preacher get called what I've been called in the last year. I don't know any other preacher here been called a cult and a cult leader. That's been on the headlines of several papers with a very flattering picture of me like this. I want to tell you, I love those people. I'm not even a little bit mad at them. I mean, I'm really not. I'm not even chapped. I'm not even hacked. I'd preach for them next week if they had the courage to let me come. I mean, I'd just love to go and just preach to their people. I'm not mad at them. Let me tell you what we're doing. Listen, folks. We're revealing the true nature of our system. We've got the nature of the accuser of the brethren. We're mean to each other. God's going to heal us because we're going to agree to love one another. Somebody says, I'm not going to compromise. Well, I believe it may be the greatest compromise of all to refuse to love one another. As a matter of fact, if you don't love one another, God says you don't even know him. I didn't say that. God said it. You can't hear God if you won't walk in love. How are you going to know the truth if you're committed to walk in darkness, hating one another? God forgive us.
And let me just tell you, point blank, you won't know the truth if you commit to walk in darkness, and you will never know the power of God in your life if you join with the accuser of the brethren and don't speak the truth in love. And I know I've got a dynamic style of communication, but don't tell me that wasn't just a truckload of love flowing right there. It still is. And that was in early 80s. So what, that's, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I was in my mid-30s. And I still have that same love. But let me tell you what's happened. The very people who were trained not to even talk to each other, much less like each other or love each other, have now come together to love one another. And I praise God that right here on Life Today, you have seen people from every community of faith who know that there is God the Father, the Creator, who believe the Bible is His Word, who believe Jesus is His Son and the Savior, and the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father have been seated here. And with a lot of difference and diversity, they've come together in a holy harmony seeking God. And it's been miraculous to watch. And by the way, it is this coming together. See, people think we'll correct the nation by winning an election. No, we correct the nation's perilous course by winning hearts and minds to the truth that changes us from within and then the way we live. The greatest expression of the life of God, the love of God, and His truth in us is the way we release that river of life toward others. That's what we have an opportunity to do. And you talk about an area that needs a river of life. I mean, they need water. And because of a drought, tens of thousands of precious people and little children are starving, literally starving to death. And we can turn that around immediately. That's what Mission Feeding does. Let me tell you this. When we come to you twice a year and we ask you to help us feed hundreds of thousands of children and their families that we have found who are desperate, we ask you to give to support us for those months by feeding the children. As an example, $100, and boy, you don't find $100 doing this anywhere else, $100 placed in the hands of those missionaries for Mission Feeding will feed 10 children for the next months, several months. 50 will feed 5, 30 will feed 3. Now, that's a miracle. But let me give you another miracle. Because of God's love, we're able to do even more than that. And literally, this is a miracle. We're going to see whatever you give double. We've got a $500,000, boy, you talk about a miracle of love, matching gift challenge right now. Which means if you wanted to help us care for 10 children who are desperate, in need of our love and the missionaries' help, you will see that number immediately doubled. $1,000 will feed 100 children. It'll be doubled immediately to 200. 100 immediately from 10 to 20, whatever you can do. I want you just to look and listen and just see the reality of what's being faced right now in several areas of Southern Africa, especially in Angola right now. And we work in the hardest areas like the Sudan. Our mission workers are so faithful, so courageous, so loving, but empty-handed unless we put in their hands that which must be shared. Watch closely.
After months of an exceptionally long dry season, a severe drought is threatening Angola's already modest food production. Rainfall has been so scarce that African officials are calling it the worst drought in years, with nearly 2 million people affected by this natural disaster. These freshly dug graves are a grim reminder that children suffer the most when land that once produced food crops has turned barren. Families struggle to grow food in their villages, but sadly, it's a losing battle because the parched land cannot yield enough crops. Mothers will feed their children roots and leaves in a desperate attempt to keep them from starving to death. Over 500,000 children in the hardest hit areas are suffering from malnutrition, with the situation growing worse by the day. As the drought lingers on, rural clinics are filled with grieving mothers, helplessly watching their children suffer. And the reality is that while waiting for the rain to return, thousands of children may die. The solution is simple, a daily bowl of food. Mission Feeding is their only hope.
Well, you see the long lines waiting to get a bowl like this. Some of them already have the bowls. Because once they come to the feeding area, we'll give them a bowl. And you can't believe how they treasure it and take care of it. I saw quite a few bowls stacked there, too, because that means more children were coming in that day. And that particular line that you were watching was in an area where we've already established the feeding center. There are more coming to those areas now because of the devastating effects of the drought. So the numbers are being added. There are 400,000 in the already established centers where we're turning it around for those children, giving them a future. You're going to see children that were dying. A year later, you're going to see what they look like now, even in the following days. You're going to see that. The miracle of what love does in Mission Feeding. You see this beautiful bowl that was literally created and designed. It's heat resistant. It has lines in it that tell you how much you give in various areas based upon the need or the amount that will enable us to reach the end of the line and not run out. In the bottom, it says life. That's what we're giving them. the bowl is useless without something in it. So when we come to you and we ask you to give to Mission Feeding, we're asking you to give the food, the wonderful porridge mix that is specially designed for the nutritional needs of an area. So you're giving us what we put in the bowl, what the missionaries give. You're making it possible. You keep the mission workers in place. And there are thousands of them in place. And interestingly, and you'll even hear from our mission overseers, how many of those who are now working in the mission outreaches were 20 years ago children who were dying. Now they got a new future, a new life. They went to school where we established school feeding. That school feeding program has now gone all over the world with the World Food Bank. The example that was started by those missionaries of how you get the kids to come to school in the impoverished areas. You give them food there, and they'll show up more frequently, and they'll get an education. So see, missionaries are continually inspiring and teaching. They can't do it without the ability to do it. And the great works that transform lives are always found where there's a compassion connection, where the missionary with a heart for what they're called to do is involved. You don't just throw money at a need. You get directly involved with it, but you can't do it with empty hands or empty bowls. Would you dial that number right now, please? Whatever you're doing, move to the phone or go online, go to your computer, or your laptop, lifetoday.org, make a gift, or dial the number and say, today, I know you'd pray with me if I had a broken heart. I know that. You'd pray for me if I had a need. But today I'm calling because I want to make a gift of life. If you can possibly give $1,000, we're going to send you the beautiful 50th anniversary commemorative bronze, Brotherly Love, an older brother feeding his little brother, giving life. You'll give a gift of $1,000 or more, it'll be doubled immediately. If you can possibly give a gift of $100, it'll be doubled from 10 children to 20 children, it'll be doubled to 200 because of the matching gift. We'll send you the Family Reading Bible and the devotional. For any gift, we're sending you the devotion book, A Good Word for a Great Day. We send gifts to bless you, to say thank you for blessing others and giving them life. Would you go to the phone or go online right now and make the gift God put on your heart? Please make the best gift you can and know it will be matched. It will be doubled.
At this very moment, children are drawing what could be their last breath, struggling to stay alive due to severe hunger. You can help stop the cycle of death. You can help save a child's life. In addition to the 400,000 children already in our feeding program throughout Africa, we must immediately provide for an additional 25,000 children in the hardest hit areas of drought. As an answer to prayer, a group of Life's Friends have set a $500,000 matching challenge for mission feeding. This means your gift today can have a double impact. $30 to help feed three children can be double to impact six children. $50 to help feed five children can be double to help save 10 children. And $100 for 10 children can be double to help feed and introduce Jesus to 20 children. As a thank you, we would like to send you A Good Word for a Great Day, a 365-day devotional providing a word of inspiration and promise for each new day. With your double impact gift of $100 to help save the lives of 20 children, you may request the Family Reading Bible to help engage your children and grandchildren in God's Word. Finally, please consider a double impact gift of $1,000 to help save the lives of 200 children. And you may also request the 50th anniversary commemorative bronze, Brotherly Love. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
We went out to visit some schools where joy kind of overtakes you to begin with, because you're out there and you see these kids get their food and they're singing songs and they're welcoming us, and it makes your heart leap with joy. So every bowl of food that we serve is also a reminder that there's probably 100 times or 1,000 times more kids that don't get that bowl of food. And that breaks my heart. And I pray, Father God, that as hundreds of thousands of people are watching today, maybe millions, Father God, that everyone will say, I'll do one. If we would do that, then millions upon millions of ones would be saved from starvation. That's all it takes, and it doesn't take much. It is amazing what can happen if we just get one. So I'm asking you to go to your phone, pick it up, dial the number that's on your screen, and help us in saving one more life.
From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for helping. I do want to give you the most personal invitation I can to come be with me and Betty for the 50th anniversary Awaken Now Conference. A lot of people are concerned about direction, about the church, about the nation. Remember this, it's not about winning elections. Oh boy, that's important. But I'm going to tell you something. If we don't win minds and hearts to truth, we're not going to know the truth that sets us free and keeps us free. We're just going to keep choosing mere men and listening to men and not hearing truth. You got to know the truth that'll set you free. You're going to hear some speakers that know the truth. Many of them worked with us through the years, and they've become national leaders and a continual source of inspiration. You're going to want to hear Beth. You're going to want to hear Andy Andrews, Robert Morris, our pastor. You'll want to hear what God's put on my heart. You'll want to hear these speakers that you see. Go online, lifetoday.org. You must register. We'd like you to eat with us, but we need to know you're coming, and everyone must pre-register. So do it. We want to see you there.
James and Betty Robison, July 18th through the 20th for the Awaken Now Conference at Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas, featuring inspiring speakers such as author and neurosurgeon Dr. Ben Carson, international Bible teacher and author Beth Moore, Pastor Robert Morris, author and speaker Christine King, and many more, including musical guests such as Phillips, Craig, and Dean. Register today for this once-in-a-lifetime event celebrating 50 years of ministry with James and Betty Robison. Go to lifetoday.org.
I think these are exciting days for Christians to live in, because the fact is, the darker the background, the brighter the light.
Dr. Robert Jeffress, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.